Lord, thank you for another night, God, to gather, to open up your word and to see how much you love us and just really how graceful and merciful you truly are. And God, just pray that you do a work in our hearts. Lord, comfort us. Give us that strength and to continue in these last days that we have. And our hearts cry out, Maranatha, Lord, come get us, Lord. And we look forward to the day we get to see you face to face. So we just love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So chapter 11, guys, we are 1 through 11 of Genesis, right? Foundational chapters of the Bible. And we learn a lot about God, about where everything came from, where the earth and the stars and the moon and mankind, and we learn why and where death enters in. Guys, I'm going to kind of give a little recap of this 11 chapters that we've done. And if you remember chapter 1, it's kind of going through the titles and kind of seeing what God has been teaching me, been teaching us as a church. And so by week 1, really taking this study by faith, reading the word and seeing what it says and not needing wisdom of men to teach us all of the science behind everything. We take God's word by faith, and that's really the foundation of our belief system, right? We take it by faith. We heard, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We heard God's word, and we just believe it no matter what anybody says about it. Chapter 2 was entitled, I Need Help, right? God gave man a helpmate, and we talked about the Holy Spirit, the need for a helper in our lives. And chapter 3, sin enters in, right? Simply sin and how God gave that command to Adam and Eve that you should not eat of the tree of good and evil. And if you do, you'll surely die. And just the justice that God gives, that we can rely on God's word because Adam and Eve, but we see they eventually die, right? We see death enter in spiritually and physically. Chapter 4, we talked about humbling ourselves. We looked at Cain and Abel and pride, and we looked at that. Then we entered into chapter 5, titled You're Here Now, kind of giving testimony. We went through a genealogy, and then we got stuck on Enoch. If you remember, Enoch walked with God and was not, right? Was raptured with that picture of the church. And we went through a little walkthrough of Colossians, and we're going through Colossians now, Sunday mornings, and just that reminder of just who God is, who Jesus is, right? That foundational, as we're building, as the children here, us, if we reaffirm our foundational principles of what we believe and what God has done. We looked at who God is, who Jesus is, right? That Jesus really is God, and he was before. He's the preeminent one, right? Foundational principles that we're learning through 1 through 11 of Genesis. Chapter 6, we had the question, what are you doing, right? We looked at Noah building the ark. We look at how God gave him the instructions and how Noah followed the instructions and did what God had him to do. And we see that Noah was saved by grace through faith, that he had faith in what God told him, and he did what God told him to do. And we see the work ethic of Noah and just all that he did, right, to the years of building that ark with his boys. And 7 and 8 we did together, and how we looked at how, behold, all things have become new. And just the newness of life coming off the boat, the newness of the earth and all the seasons and the different things that God did through that, and telling them, commanding them to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. In chapter 9, was entitled Life Abundantly, and we talked about the abundance that man would live on unto, right? And the abundance of love, and we talked about life abundantly, right? The what God gives in this new life that we have, that old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We had that this morning too. And chapter 10, we went through that another genealogy, looking at all the names and how really chapter 11, this first 9 verses we're going to talk about is, chapter 10 is kind of laying down what the the nations and the languages and the divisions of the families. And then we see how that came about from chapter 11. So the name above all names, we looked at all those names and how God chose Shem, right? The line of Shem to place his name unto. And so Shem meaning name. And so guys, we're building up the children, right? I'm encouraging you kids to, you know, make solid your foundational beliefs as you search out from the beginnings of all things, right? And that's what 1 through 11 is about. And so we come to a Bible study, chapter 11, I have entitled simply, But God. And whatever you want to do with that, but really I look at chapter 11 and it's just But God, right? And how before we enter into 12, we see a man named Abram, right? We're introduced in chapter 11, Abram. And his parents and the genealogies will have the descendants of Shem, will have the descendants of his dad, Terah. And so chapter 11, let's read it together. So have your Bibles open and let's read together and see what he has for us tonight. And so after all of that, right, after all these chapter 10, as we talked about the divisions of the families of Ham, Shem, and Japheth, right? We saw the sin of Ham and how he cursed Canaan through that of the uncovering of his father's nakedness, and Shem and Ham, right? Love covering a multitude of sins, and how he'd be a servant to Shem. And we enter into 11, and we're going to talk about how what it says. Verse 1, he says, Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed eastward, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, Indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now nothing, okay, highlight this in your Bible, this is a fascinating verse of what it says. It says, Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. So he says, Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. And so as we, you know, we'll camp on this first part for a little while. We'll kind of talk about it. And as I come up with a title, But God, right? And so talking about foundational principles about God. And so really a launch pad for us as you consider God, right? And we consider the nature of God. We consider the Old Testament God. A lot of people have a lot to say about this Old Testament God who's this mean, right? War kills everybody and wipes everybody out. He's this vengeful, angry God. You'll hear a lot of people that you come in contact with say that, right? That, you know, we're happy that he's a New Testament God and not an Old Testament God. But as you study this out, 1 through 11, chapters 1 through 11 of Genesis, I take note as of just how patient and loving he really is. If you consider, you know, and if you look at the time frames, because we'll look at 10 through 32, these you can kind of do the math of going through those names. And so we just came from the flood, right? They landed on Mount Ararat. They came out from there. This big boat was there. And Shem, Ham, and Japheth, they're commanded to multiply and fill the earth, okay? And we'll, you know, remember Ham and then his Cush's boy, Nimrod. Right, the mighty hunter of the earth, this man that was rebelling against God, and he's the one. If you can really kind of put yourself in this and think about this, that the Tower of Babel which is fascinating, is that this, you know, if you take it, as some believe that it was during Peleg's time, that when the earth was divided, as we see in chapter 10, that is when the Tower of Babel, and that's when the divisions of the language were dispersed, and God put the people in their inheritances all over the earth, as we see, and we looked at all the different names and where they're at today in Russia and China and South America and all this that God had done. And we see it was probably about, it's fascinating, is about 100 years or so after the flood, or they came off the flood, that the Tower of Babel and these cities were built. So you have Nimrod, right? He's gathering the people to rebel and build a gateway to God, right? Babel meaning gateway to God. And so that's 100 years. So you have Shem, Ham, and Japheth, the boys, and Noah. Noah lives 350 years after this. So Noah's on the earth at this time, and the stories they have of being in the flood and God keeping him through that and protecting his family and starting new with that. You have Shem. What's really fascinating is Shem, as we will continue to read, that he lives. If we just go to 10, we'll see that after he begot Arphaxad, which is 2 years after the flood, that he lived for 500 years after this. Okay. And so you consider this, and you consider he just wiped out all the people of the face of the earth, right? By his mercy, because of what the wickedness of man's hearts were only continually on all the earth and the devising of wicked things that they did. And then they gather together. They're in one speech in one language. And God says, is really, you know, it really makes you kind of stop and think. He says, now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. And now we're in a day and age where, you know, you see mankind coming together. You see mathematics. Really, a lot of this stuff can flourish because of the language of mathematics and the building of things. And you think, man, what we have today, we have spaceships. You look at the amazing, there was some military technology that they used in Venezuela recently that had never been used, supposedly. And supposedly we have things that have never been used, what their grumblings about, rumors of wars, as we hear of all these things, and that nothing would be withheld from them. And you think of these companies and what they're able to do and cloning and the imaginations of man's heart right now, and that there would be nothing that would be withheld from them. And you can see that, you know, we put a man on the moon, right? We want to put a man on Mars. And I believe if they came together, they'll be able to do that, right? But God came and intervened. And so you just think of, man, you just think of just rockets and the cloning of animals, and can they clone human beings? You think of all of the technologies and the Neuralink and all these things that they're doing with the brain and reversing things. And you just open your eyes what's around you. Here we're on a university of learning and academics, and they're studying of all these things to find a life without God, or that without a need for God, and to prevent diseases and to lengthen. That's what they're studying. They're trying to lengthen man's days on the earth, and healthcare and the space race. And, you know, you think of, you know, the satellites in the heavens and the communications and all of this all to form one language for mankind. And then you do the deep dives in Revelation, you see what's coming, you see the mark of the beast. I remember being a kid thinking, well, how is that going to happen? And now we can see I'm not that old. So just a handful of years later, now I can be like, yeah, that's very plausible to think that they are going to be able to implement, especially after 2020 and just how mankind was able to just mostly a lot of people submit unto those things and to institute all this in the name of probably health, right? In the name of the phones, the smartphones, the things that, you know, growing up for me, I was able to see the phone, you know, come. And when I was in high school, I had the little Nokia phone, right? And then it was like 2007, the iPhone came out, and it's just exploding from there. And so, the things that they're imagining up right now, God says, nothing that they propose to do even then would be withheld from them. And so that statement, come, let us, as we see, let us, who's us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they come down. there and they confuse their language. And, you know, God could have, you know, here he just wiped out, you know, the whole earth. All living things were destroyed. And you know, we did the math. We considered what could have been for a population. The Bible doesn't say how many people were on the earth. But if some people taking, you know, they lived to be about 1,000, we saw there could be like 50 billion people or whatever it is. We're up to 8 to 10 billion people now. And how many more would be on the earth had, you know, we had not been killing our babies in the womb. So the Bible said in those early chapters that there was a population explosion when men began to multiply on the face of the earth. And so just taking that into consideration, so just a short period of time, 100 years later, after this new beginning, right, this new fill the earth, and we see that the man's heart was still wicked after that, right? Noah and the boys, they still had a sin nature. And so just that short period of time, and here they are trying to reach the heavens and to have this gateway to God. And man, you read this and you see that they go to the plains of Shinar. They go, which is believed the language means they went eastward, right? You know, you read the New King James, it says journeyed from the east. You know, you think of that, they came from China, came over, but I believe it is proper to read that as they journeyed eastward and went to the east, because from Mount Ararat, you know, in the Turkey, you know, from east there is the Mesopotamia region between the Euphrates and the Tigris, and north of Babylon would have been Assyria. And we see that Nimrod went and gathered the people to build these cities, right? He built Assyria and did those things and was a mighty man, right? A mighty hunter of men's souls Nimrod meaning rebellion. He rebelled against God and all the amazing things they did. And so God could have, you know, why didn't he just wipe them all out again? And I'm blown away as I read these and I read the beginning and just the patience of God. Or you think of the flood when it came about 1700 years-ish after creation, and 1700 years of, you know, of patience of the wickedness that was on earth. And here we are today, and we're, you know, we see the wickedness around us. Each day that comes by that Jesus doesn't come to get us, I'm like, man, how merciful God is and how patient, how much he wants men and women to be saved. And you just think, man, any minute here, we are going to be caught up. But how patient and loving God is. And so through all this, these chapters, I'm just blown away how merciful he is. And then here he is making a way for his plan, the seed of the woman, right? And he's making this plan of these names, and he's carving out a people for himself to show all of his ways and what he's like as he gives the law and builds the tabernacle, and then Leviticus and Deuteronomy, we see all the laws of what God's like and the instructions for mankind and his people to live like, to live not like the peoples of the earth. And so I hope that through this Genesis foundational 11 chapters, we can get a picture that God is really loving, right? He is very merciful, very patient, very graceful, because you can skim through this and if you read it too fast, you'll go, man, boom, you know, it's, you know, people get that impression that he's this mean guy, right? That is just out there to kill everybody. And then you look, and then you read through and you continue to read and you see him, you know, the command to wipe out the peoples, the Amorites, the Amalekites, and it's really God's mercy and all that because of the wickedness. You really think about it. But God makes a way, and he, right, that name above all names, as we know, is Jesus. And they, in this region, you think of this Mesopotamia region, it's all, you know, you kind of really, it's kind of this region where we're at now. It's all kind of sandy, silty, region, and there's no stones, there's no trees at the time, and here they take it and they make bricks, right? They use asphalt for mortar, okay? And a lot of the guys, you know, I believe Rockefeller read the Bible, and they looked at this and they saw the region, and they were like, just by reading the Bible, they went to this region, they found oil, and so they, by reading the Bible, they said they went to that area, Standard Oil, and say, hey, you know, using the Bible for, you know, to find that, oh, there must be oil in this region. And then they used asphalt. And you think of the ark probably still sitting there on the mountain of Ararat. They see that it was protected, and here they're going to build a tower, and they paint it with asphalt for mortar to make it waterproof. To, you know, they're going to build this, and God's not going to be able to wipe us out, because we're going to use what God commanded Noah and those guys to be protected through that. So nothing's going to take us out, because they're thinking they're going to make it this religion, right? They're really the birthplace of religion. We see the Mesopotamia. We'll see the Ur of the Chaldeans, that Abram and his family, as they were idol worshipers. And we'll see this man Abram at the end here. And so come, let us build. And they, you know, I mentioned last time, as we look at the name above all names, they say, let us make a name for ourselves. And just how mankind, our nature, the pride of life, as Satan gets at men in the church, men all over, right? The lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, that men wanting to make a name for ourselves. And, you know, as we see, you know, said it before, that, you know, the websites, the books, the trying to be somebody within the church too. And God, and we'll see this upside down kingdom, because as man here, as we see their natures to build their way up to the top, right, to reach to the heavens and make a name for themselves. Nimrod, a mighty hunter, this heroic man that was everybody was following. That God's kingdom is an upside down kingdom. So us as Christians, as we are to work our way to the bottom, right? And we are to be the lowest, take the lowest position, as you'll read the letters that Paul writes in the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 12, as he talks about his apostleship and how he was to work his way to the bottom, and how he's pleading with the church and the men of the church and the pastors and those guys to work your way to be a servant, right? To lay your life down as Jesus, as we look at Jesus, as he tells us these things, die to yourself and follow me, right? As Jesus is our prime example of what it is for us to be as Christians, to lay our life down for others, to live for others. And so the Lord comes down, they're building, you know, wild to think about all that. And what this tower looked like as they, you know, they burnt it in the fire, and they, you know, technology is blossoming, and they're figuring out ways, and technology, as they're looking at ways to really, it's centralized power, right? Nimrod and these guys, they're centralizing powers. We can kind of compare what's going on in our world today and the push to centralize everything, right? The Antichrist is going to come, whether we like it or not. He's going to come. He's going to take us out, and the Antichrist is going to come and deceive the nations, and they're all going to follow him, and they're going to, right? They're going to do whatever he says, and they're going to look for a man to fix all their problems, right? As they do here. So with that, as we kind of see what man is doing and but God, right? These but God statements is kind of what the message is today. And so let's go to Matthew 7. We got a couple places in Matthew as we consider this but God statement that's we'll find through the Bible and just his love and mercy. Let's go to, in relation to chapter 11, let's go to Matthew 7, 24 through 29. As Jesus is speaking, and what he tells his disciples is, if you're his disciple, and he'll speak to you, because this is God speaking to you. I'll remind you guys, you kids, remember, as you're reading the Bible, this is his love letter to you if you've been born again, and if you've believed and received salvation, that as you read this Bible, that this is God's way of speaking to you. And so as you read this, this is God speaking to you. And he says in verse 24, right, if you look back a little bit from chapter 7, you know, the Matthew 5, 6, and 7, Matthew 7, build, you know, the foundation, right? If I back up a little bit, it's just catching my eye here. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, this is 21 through in chapter 7 of Matthew. He says in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. All right. You know, make your election and calling sure, right? Make sure that you know that you have received, right? That, you know, you read that and it's like, you know, that kind of spooky a little bit. So it's like just the grace of God to know you received, you've believed. The only one thing you can do is believe on Jesus, the name of Jesus. And so what he says, Jesus continues on in verse 24, he says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, okay, and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. And so I read that, and you look at these people in the Mesopotamia. If you do some studying in Babylon and that Euphrates River Valley, floods are very common, right? Really torrential floods in that area. I used to look at that, and you know, that land is built on the sand. They're building, these guys are building their life, their religion, their way to God on sand. And the rivers came, they beat them down, but us for our rock but God. So I have a bunch of verses I've got, if you want to mark them down, but I wrote them down to read them and for us believers and, you know, those that, you know, guys, let people know the gospel. Tell people about Jesus, right? As you're out and you think of revival, you know, you're reminded, you know, that just like the Jesus movement, man, they went out, they were telling everybody about Jesus, is what I'm told. What, you know, we can look back and that movement of God's Holy Spirit and the Word of God and what He did back then. And so, you know, as they're building a tower, you know, it might make you think of a strong tower, right? Our strong tower, Jesus. Psalm 61:3. I'm kind of rattle off a few verses as, to get this in our heart. And it's but God, right? For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. Psalm 61:3. Proverbs 18:10. Last week, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe, right? The name above all names, Jesus Christ. Psalm 95:1. This morning we had, oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. And, you know, rock, Jesus, right? He's not made with sand, right? He is that chief cornerstone. So Psalm 118:22, right? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. And right, you can go through the scripture. You can, you know, as you're reading through, you know, maybe mark down this week as you're in your devotion time in Proverbs, Psalms, whatever. And you might, the rock, right? Those verses will jump out at you, right? The rock of our salvation, the rock. Build your house on the rock, guys. As you kids, right? The Word of God, us as adults too. It's never too late. You're here now. That the instructions, right? What are you building your foundation in your life in, right? Is it on the what God teaches and His laws? And, you know, Psalm 1, right? Meditate on God's law, right? Building, you know, the root, being rooted and doing God's commands and building your foundation and your life on Jesus and making that your priority over the things that you want to do that would be not what God would have you to do, right? So never too late, right? To build on the foundation, which is Jesus, the chief cornerstone, right? The solid rock. So that will never fail. And so now let's look at some but God statements through the Bible. As I'm kind of stuck on that with this chapter, but God, and God comes down, He confuses their language, right? He disperses the peoples as we looked at in Acts of what he said to, you know, what Paul said, the Areopagus, that God did all that. God's plan in all these things in these people groups that they would cry out for God. And so God, you know, he did all this. and he has a plan, and but God, right? The greatest two words in the Bible is but God, right? But God, he, his love, who is rich in mercy. I started with that one. I might as well say that one. Ephesians 2, 4, and 5. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. Psalm 73, 26. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and portion forever. 2 Timothy 2, 9. But the word of God is not chained, right? Is it just, you know, the word of God, how he gives us his word, he's preserved his word through all these years. We have the word of God, but God, and this valuable, don't neglect it, the word of God in your life. And then I'm, you know, the kids was meditating on this too. And, you know, the kids this morning in children's ministry were in Matthew 5, 1 through 12, the blesseds, right? I was thinking about that. And if you want to turn over there, if you were in Matthew 7, one page to the left, two in my Bible. Matthew 5, and kind of considering this, and but God, and you read through this, and I you look at, so you kind of take note of the poor in spirit, right? Jesus teaching his disciples on the mount. You know, you have the poor in spirit. You have those that mourn. You have those that are meek, those that are hunger and thirst for righteousness, those that are merciful, you know, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Yeah, you might be in pain or whatever is going on in your life, and it's just really but God, I see, you know, the blessed are, right? Even in those circumstances, you may be poor in spirit, right? You know, Jesus wept and he, you know, he sees what man and sin has done, and he weeps, and he, if you're weeping and are downtrodden and heavy laden and all these things, and, you know, merciful, if you're persecuted, what all these things are going on in your life, blessed are you. And God's grace in that, and for yours is the kingdom of heaven. But God, for they will inherit the earth. They that thirst after or hunger and thirst for righteousness, they shall be filled. The merciful, they shall obtain mercy. The pure in heart, they shall see God, right? But God, as you've this new life that God gives us, Jesus in his grace and his mercy, who is rich in mercy toward us that believe, right? The great one that we probably all think about, Romans 5, 8, too. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, he died for us, right? While, you know, man's hearts were wicked continually in the flood, but God, he preserved man, right? He found faith in Noah. By grace through faith, he preserved Noah. And, but God, man, it's, you know, it's this whole, I've had an extra week. Obviously, I need an extra week to go in this chapter and meditate in this and, you know, this grounded and, you know, Colossians 1:23, I wrote in my notes too. And if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, right? Just grounded in your faith, that foundation of your faith, and I'm built up in it and hope you guys are. And so back to Genesis 11. Some more fun facts studying this out, guys. If, you know, as I made mention of, you know, you know, it takes a long, you know, for me, you know, this is new to me, the last 5-10 years of studying the Bible, and you kind of slow down and you kind of, you consider these genealogies, how cool it is that God put all this in here of his people. And, you know, he doesn't give record of when Nimrod died and all that, but he, in his line that he, through Shem's descendants, that he gives us record of this. And it blows you away because 500 years. And if you do the math, which is interesting to do, And so here we have this. God divides the languages. He scatters the people. And now he's going to deal with his man that he calls, right? Abraham. Now we're getting to Abraham. And it kind of blows you away because so you have Abram and you study this out. Noah's still alive, right? And so all this, Noah, who goes through all that, he lived, 500 years before. He got to see all that, the wickedness of mankind before the flood. You have Shem, who was, 100 years old. Let's see, he was 100 years old and begot Arphaxad 2 years after the flood. So you have this man, Shem, and he lived 500 years and begot sons and daughters. And so by the time that this is happening up to Abram, we are at... 300 and so Abram died when he was 175 years old. Okay. And the Septuagint, if you're looking at the Septuagint translation of these chapters, there's a differential of 100 years. And this is the King James comes from the Masoretic. These are big words, whatever, for whatever it's worth, the Hebrew old manuscripts. So there is a little differential, but either way, Abraham would have been, Shem would have been alive most of Abraham's life. And maybe you know that, and maybe you don't. And maybe you kind of sit and consider this, how Shem, they could have gone to Shem, who had lived through all this. And you can do some deep dives in this, and it's pretty fascinating, because then you had Noah still would have been alive. And so Abram died at 175, which would have been 467 years after the flood. But Shem died 500 years after this. And so did Shem outlive Noah, or did Shem outlive Abram? The Septuagint says that Shem would have died a little bit before Abraham died. But I find that's pretty fascinating in how this short period of time in all of this. And so let's read through this genealogy, another genealogy of Shem, who was 100 years old. We got Arphaxad, so we got this line that Jesus is God's dealing with to show us for our record, Jesus, right? That he would be born. And after he begot Arphaxad, Shem lived 500 years and begot sons and daughters. Arphaxad lived 35 years and begot Salah. After he begot Salah, Arphaxad lived 403 years and begot sons and daughters. Salah lived 30 years and begot Eber, and right? Eber was that name where Hebrew is derived from. He lived 34 years and begot Peleg. After he begot Peleg, Eber lived 430 years and begot sons and daughters. Peleg lived 30 years and begot Reu. After he begot Reu, Peleg lived 209 years and begot sons and daughters. Reu lived 32 years and begot Serug. And after he begot Serug, Reu lived 207 years and begot sons and daughters. And so on and so forth. Serug, 30 years. Nahor, after he begot Nahor. Serug lived 200 years and begot sons and daughters. Nahor lived 29 years and begot Terah. After he begot Terah, Nahor lived 119 years and begot sons and daughters. Now Terah lived 70 years and begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. So this is the genealogy of Terah, Abraham's dad, right? Terah begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Haran begot Lot. And so Lot is Abram's nephew. And Haran lived, and Haran died before his father Terah in his native land in Ur of the Chaldeans. Then Abram and Nahor took wives, and the name of Abram's wife was Sarai. And the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and the father of Iscah. But Sarai was barren. She had no child. Okay, that implies that she was not even capable of having a child. So she was barren. She wasn't scientifically possible to have kids, right? So as God works his miracles, his promise, and that's verse 30. You highlight that verse. And Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot and the son of Haran and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abram's wife, and they went out from them from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan, And they came to Haran and dwelt there. So the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. And also interesting, as you study out the Ur of the Chaldeans and just kind of laying out some what Deuteronomy will probably touch on later, but how what God chooses for a man of Abraham, right? If you read Halley's handbook, he says that Abram didn't have idolatry, but the Bible clearly says that Terah and his family were in idol worship in the Ur of the Chaldeans. And so I'll stick with what the Bible says. And so it's going to be very encouraging for us to see a man like Abraham, who becomes Abraham. It's going to be hard to keep straight, but that he uses it, he uses a regular guy, right, to fulfill his purpose. And how as we study out Abraham, what he is like to his wife as he goes to Egypt, and how pretty interesting, just the sin in his life and how faith, right? We'll look at the faith of Abraham, and faith starts, and the faith is built, right? And as your faith grows, and it's encouraging to because you read through these things, we kind of regard Abraham, Noah, these guys, these super giants that we can't relate to, that those are for those guys. But just the reminder that Abraham was just another guy, you know, a regular garden variety, another guy that came from a place of idol worship, the Ur of the Chaldees, where the Marduk, the moon god, right? The moon god, which, you know, is prevalent still today, as we see of Islam, and you know, the Greeks had Zeus, the Romans had Jupiter, and Egypt had their Ra, their moon gods of these, the gods that they worshiped, and hundreds and thousands of gods that they worshiped. And, you know, all the way back here, the Ur of the Chaldeans, they dug down, and the archaeology, how they saw the child sacrifice and the idol worship and all that that went on in Abram's day as he grew up and all that. And so, but God, right? But God intervenes to mankind and their plans, as he has intervened in our life through the gospel. So that's how we intervene in other people's lives. If we want anything to change in our country and anything to change in these people groups that are God had brought to North Dakota, man, what an opportunity to be just telling everybody about Jesus, right? The gospel. That's, you know, but God, it demonstrates his love toward us, that he wants all mankind to be saved. And so I hope be filled with the Holy Spirit to just tell people about Jesus, man, and how good he is. And because that's what people need, is last days, guys. We are in the last days. So tell people how good he is into your life, because by the gospel, by the hearing of the gospel, this faith, right, that we have, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so the word of God, living and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, right? It's powerful. So be in your word. I encourage you guys, and the foundation as you launch forward, you kids, as you continue to read, as I encourage you guys to continue to do, read these stories out, but know how good God is and how merciful and gracious and long-suffering he is, because he really is. And so with that, let's pray and praise God. All right, Lord, we praise you, Lord. We thank you for going to the cross, Lord, for dying on the cross, Lord, for offering your life a payment for our sins, Lord, by the shed blood on the mercy seat, Lord, that we have access as that veil was torn. We don't need any mediator but Christ Jesus, our Lord, that we have a relationship with you, and we can access God. We have a relationship with you, God. So thank you for intervening on our behalf, because you love us and you're so good to us, God. I just pray that your church, Grand Forks, Lord, everyone here would be encouraged and filled up with your spirit to go out and love one another, and to know that just dying, we will surely die, Lord. But you've given us new life spiritually. But thank you for that you have kept your word, and that all these men in the Bible did die as your word said it would do, Lord. And so thank you for keeping your word and loving us, that we can rely on this book that we hold in our hands, Lord. And And so we praise you and we lift you up and glorify you, Jesus. Amen.